Matthew chapter number 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Father, help us today, I pray. Lord, I need your help. I thank you, Lord, for the prayers that have already been uttered this morning. God, we need you to come by. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that you've laid on our hearts today. Lord, the songs that even we sang in the congregation. Lord, about wanting to see our Savior, first of all. It's because of what you've done for us, Lord, that we long to see your face. How you brought us through that awful depression and that distress of our soul. And you blew upon our lives in spite of us. And you brought us to a place where we could repent and turn to thee and trust thee and thee alone. God, we praise you for that time. Lord, we don't ever want to get over that. God, help us to constantly keep it in our mind what you saved us for and what you saved us from. How you dealt with our hearts and blew peace down in our souls that we couldn't give ourselves. Religion couldn't give us. Our works couldn't give it to us. Oh, God, I pray that there'd be some folk here today that would shuck and shell whatever it is they're holding on to. They've already admitted they're lost, but they're still holding on to something they can't let go of. God, I pray that you'd break the chains today. Lord, they're as bound as the madman of Gadara. They're just as bound as he was, though they're not running around in the tombs like he was. God, they have no rest and they have no peace. And God, I pray that you'd break those chains. Lord, do it even today. God, I pray you might pour your blessings down on this place in the work of salvation. God, how we need you today. Lord, I don't know how to preach, Lord, except that you help me. God, so give me the unction that I need to have. Lord, give me the anointing that I need to have. God, you've given me the thought, and you've allowed me to study it and look at it. And Lord, you've allowed me to have it down in my soul in such a way that it burned an indelible mark and an imprint, Lord, down in my soul that I can't get away from. And so I pray that now, God, I might be able to take this that you've burned in my soul and put it into the hearts and the minds of the people that are here. And we'll give you the glory for what you do through the power and work of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, Father, we ask these petitions with thanksgivings in our heart. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach today on the subject, Our God is Narrow. Amen. You say, our God is narrow. Where does it say that, Brother Tim? Right here in these verses, if you'll study them. Jesus said you've got to enter the straight gate. And I want to ask you, what's the difference between a gate and a door except that the way they're built? Mm-hmm. Now, a door in the Old Testament could be a gate because doors were gates in the Old Testament. Yeah. And in the times of Christ, Jesus was saying, if you're going to get in, you got to get in the narrow gate. Amen. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Jesus was no doubt telling us in these verses that he is narrow. There are some areas where God will not be wide, will never be wide, cannot be wide. There are some areas where he is wide. By way of introduction, I want to give you some of these areas where God is wide. God's wide in his grace. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That would be the will of God for everybody that's in here. That's it. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. God doesn't want you to die in your sin. He don't want you to die in your religion. He don't want you to die that way. He don't want you to die dependent on anything but His grace. He wants you to depend on His grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So God's wide in His grace, in the scope of His grace. His grace has appeared to everybody so that no one will stand before God with an excuse someday.
That's right.
No one. There's a very popular evangelist. And he says that those that have never heard in foreign land the gospel are going to go to heaven. Then let's not send missionaries over there so everybody over there can go to heaven. That's ridiculous. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, that nobody's going to have an excuse when they stand before God. No one. God's wide in His grace. That proves He's wide in His grace, in that no one will have an excuse. Well, I just really didn't know and I was confused. Are you looking for the truth? Well, I don't know why it didn't just come to me. Because Jesus said it ain't going to come that way.
Right.
Jesus made it very clear in these verses that are before us. But God is wide in His grace. I say somewhere else He's wide. He's wide in His goodness. He's good to all men. If I was God, I'd have done pushed a red button on a whole bunch of them and sent them already off to a devil's hell. But the fact of the matter is He's God. And if He is like me, I'd have already been there. If He's like me. But He ain't like me. Thank God He ain't like me. I turned my back on the truth. Raised up in a preacher's home and turned my back on the truth. But I'm glad the truth didn't turn its back on me. Amen. The goodness of God is wide. God's good to everybody. He's good to everybody. If I was God, I'd have done killed a bunch of them. Amen. The sodomites and I'd have done taking care of all the child abusers. Those that molest children, they wouldn't even be in existence today. But He's a good God. But He's wide in His grace. He's wide in His goodness. He's wide in His glory. You get a glimpse of the glory of God. You get a glimpse of the creation of God. Look how wide God is in His glory. There are some areas where God is wide, but there's one area where God will not be, will never be, cannot be, because He said He will not be wide in this area. The straight gate is what you must enter.
That's right.
Yes, sir. He's not wide when it comes to salvation.
That's right.
Amen. I'm here to tell you, Jesus made it very clear in these verses that are before us. I want you to just think about some Old Testament scriptures with me concerning the narrowness of God. Exodus chapter number 12, go back there with me if you would, and verse number 49. God makes no exceptions in the arena of salvation. He does not say it's going to be one way for you and another way for somebody else. And if you got saved, God gave you peace. If you didn't get peace, you didn't get saved. And if you've never had peace, you can't know God, because God gives peace. He is the God of peace. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. If you're saved, you've got the same experience of salvation as I do. The circumstances that got you there may be different, but when you met Him, He did the same thing for you He did for me. Amen. God does not make exceptions. In Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 49, it says one law. Let's look in verse number 48 so that we can understand the gist of this thing. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let them come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. God said no exception. God's narrow about that. And Old Testament circumcision is typified in the New Testament as that which God did in the heart when He cut away the flesh and made a new creature out of you, made you a new soul in God. Well, that says one law. Look with me in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. Another verse of Scripture. Verses 15 and 16 of Numbers chapter 15. Let's start in verse number 14. Let's just start there. And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, and will offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord, as ye do, so he shall do. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. This has to do with the rites of worship in the Old Testament.
That's right.
God said one law.
That's right.
Think about the ark itself, the ark that Noah got into. It had one door in it.
That's right.
There was one way in, and there was only one way out. Amen. And God shut the door when he got in. And Noah couldn't open it. Now, another verse of Scripture, Numbers chapter 15 and verse number 9. Ye shall have, verse 29, I'm sorry, Numbers 15, 29. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among you. I'm just trying to, there's a whole lot of other verses that I could show you, but I'm just showing you these verses to let you know God only had one way for it to be done, and to be done right, it's got to be done that one way.
Amen.
Go back with me now to Matthew chapter 7. Let me show it to you. Matthew chapter number 7. Now, I hope that you don't think that God's going to give you a service today like he did last Sunday. I wish I'd have been here last Sunday, but I wasn't. I was somewhere else. I wish I had been here for one reason. Because I heard about it. And I heard it was good. But God ain't going to do the same thing today he did last Sunday. Now, it can be as good, but it ain't going to be just like it was then. And so I hope you're not expecting it to be that way right now. I'd like to see it that way before we left this place today. I'd like to see somebody get saved in such a way that it just busts this whole thing wide open. And God can. God can. And God wants to. It's His desire. Amen. He doesn't want us to be bound up. He saved us so we could be free. And He wants us to serve Him that way. He wants our services to be that way. But what gets you to the place of salvation binds you up many, many times. I want to show you, first of all, the command that is given here in these two verses, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. What is the command? Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's a command. The word enter means to arise and to come. To come in or to come into. To enter means to enter into, to enter in such a way that you go all the way in. Mm-hmm. To go in through. That's what the word enter means. A lot of folks got in the door here. They stuck their head in the door. They stuck their foot and their arm in the door. You don't get in the door that way. Enter ye in. He didn't say enter partway in. Said enter in. That's the command. The command. Jesus gave the command. So I'm not the one telling you to do it. Jesus is. Who is it that's supposed to enter in? Who are the people? Ye. No exceptions there. He doesn't say enter ye who are Israelites. He doesn't say enter ye Gentiles. Enter ye New Testament folk. He didn't say that. He said, enter ye. That's everybody. Right. That is a blanket command. Everybody. The people are ye. I don't have to go into definition for that word.
Right.
Now, I want you to go with me to the book of Luke, and I want to show you what Luke says concerning this portion of Scripture. There's no contradiction here. And there's really no addition. It's just, I guess you could say, more thought. Luke chapter number 13, and let's start in verse number 23, where it says, Jesus, one said unto Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? Have you ever wondered about that? I sure have. And I'm talking about in the multitudes of the people in this world today, you look around you, there are only a few that are saved. Only a few.
Oh, yeah.
And he said unto them, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why would he say that? Why would he say that there were some that would seek to enter in and would not be able? To let you know you don't have the power or the ability to get in. A lot of folks think that because they're seeking, 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 that they're going to get in. But God wants you to seek so that you can trust Him to get you in. Because seeking brings you to the end of yourself to where you realize you can't do it. And some of you have been seeking, 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 seeking instead of, well, now that you're there, giving in and giving up and let Him do it. Ain't that what happened to you, Audrey? Huh? You were seeking, 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 and then that day you gave up. And you entered in. Amen? How do you... Amen! It's God's work! We've got to leave it with God! We've got to quit doing it ourselves! That's why some of you in the mess you're in, because you've been doing it for so long. So that sounds easy. Getting to the door is what's not easy.
That's right. That's
right. It's getting to the door that ain't so easy.
Right.
And Jesus never said it'd be easy for you to be saved. But when I got there, and when He got to me, and I can't explain all that. All I know is it happened. He showed up. And at that point in time, my condition was bad. That night, as a matter of fact, I had give up. And that's where God wants all of us to get. I'd been looking for peace. I'd been striving to find peace. I'd been talking to everybody else about it. I'd even said, oh God, give me something. I need peace. You know what? I was looking for peace instead of the peace giver. I was looking for the gift instead of the giver of it. And the night I got saved, the giver of the gift came by. And the giver of peace came by. And I wasn't looking for peace anymore. I needed Him. And when I got Him, I got peace. Amen. That wasn't so hard. What was hard was getting there. And then giving up after I got there. Hello.
Yeah. Right.
Some of you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Some of you have been struggling and striving. I remember preaching in Exton, Pennsylvania, where Brother Shipman had been many, many times. And I got there that week, and I knew I was supposed to give my testimony that week when I preached. I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And the morning that the preacher came up to me and said, "I want you to preach this morning." I already knew what I was going to preach, and he said to me, "Brother Tim, I want you to pray about giving your testimony." I said, "Brother, I don't have to pray about giving my testimony. God's already told me to give it."
Amen.
And that morning I got to preaching, and I got to give him a testimony. We had 9 professions of faith that morning. I don't know how many of them are real, but I know we had 9 of them.
Yeah.
Who got under the influence of a testimony of somebody who got saved. And this pastor's wife had gotten saved. And she stood up and she said, "I got to testify. I got to tell you what happened to me today."
Yeah.
She said, "I've been struggling and crawling and pulling and trying to find peace. I've been trying all my life to get to Jesus, to crawl to Jesus, to find somehow some way to get peace. I couldn't find it in my religion. I couldn't find it in the fact that I was a pastor's wife. I couldn't find it in the fact that I was busy in the church." She said, she did just like that while I just crawled and crawled and dug and dug and crawled and tried to get. She said, "Today He came by and saved me."
That's it.
She said, "But I had to repent of everything I'd been and everything I'd tried except Him. And everything I'd trusted except Him." Boy, she was a weeping. Thank God, amen. There ain't nothing like that. I had a bunch of people wanted that tape, and they didn't get a tape of it that morning. And God let me preach that message down at Brother Shipman's, and I've been sending that tape out with my personal testimony on it, and it has helped some folk. There was a preacher there and his wife that had some boys that just never have served God. They're pastor's kids, but they just never have served God. Yeah. And she said, the preacher said, we need something like this to wake up our boys.
Amen. That's right.
You know what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
You know why they got out into sin the way they did and are living like the devil for years? Because they've never been saved.
Right.
If you lived like the devil for a bunch of years, you made a profession when you were a little one,
right.
Why can't you give up that stinking thing? It ain't worth going to hell with. It ain't worth taking to God. It didn't do anything for you. Why don't you shuck it and shell it and just say, I don't have anything, and admit it so you can get to the end.
That's right.
Amen. Didn't change you. You didn't get saved. Amen. Strive ye to enter. Strive to enter. Enter ye in at the straight gate. He didn't make any exception. He didn't say one person got saved one way and another one got saved another way, and one person got more salvation than the other one did, and this one understood more and all that mess. No, sir. A baby's a baby. One thing a baby does is desire something that you don't have to make them desire. These people have got to be made to get baptized and made to serve God. Lost as our goose. Amen. In a hailstorm. Amen. Strive. Strive. Well, I looked at this word strive, and it's the Greek word agonizomai. Where we get our English word, which is a transliterated word from the Greek language, to agonize. Strive to enter the straight gate. Agonize! You don't see much agony anymore, though. Somehow or another, people are flippant today. They strive for a while, they weep for a while, they try for a while, they give up, and it's just ha 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 ha. There seems to be no conviction there. There's no agony. Until the birth, there's agony. Boy, we had one of our children. I don't remember which one it was now. Michelle, I think. Maybe it was Rachel. I can't remember which one it was. She had false labor three or four times. And she did her best to have that baby early. She made me take her to the hospital more than she needed to be taken. False labor and all that. She was striving. She was agonizing. She wanted that baby. But when it's time for that baby to be born, there was a lot of agony. And I'm here to tell you, friend, when there's birth, there's agony. Oh, but you know what we've done today to stop the agony? We've got spinals now, and we've got some other kind of thing they call, I don't remember what it is, to numb everything so there's no feeling anymore. Whatever they call it, it doesn't matter. My wife's trying to tell me, I can't hear her. Epidural. Anything to stop the pain. And we're trying to do that in our Baptist churches today. Just anything to just stop the pain just so that it can get over with and get done and then ain't nothing happening. And you know there's more pain after those than there are if the lady just doesn't take it. There's more pain. The pain comes after. A cesarean, the labor pains usually come after the birth. And that's why we're seeing a lot of people with pain after they make a profession. They tried to sue their way in. Oh, we've got the easy. Oh, yeah. 1, 2, 3. Repeat after me and you're in. They ain't nothing. Amen. Amen. They ain't nothing to it. Didn't happen that way in the New Testament. It wasn't practiced that way. They didn't even have a Baptist rosary back then.
No, sir.
Amen. You can get any Catholic to repeat after you because they do that all the time anyway. You can get religious people to pray because religious people pray. But it's when they agonize. It's when they get to Jesus. Agonizomai, strive. Agony, struggle. It means to compete for a prize. To contend with an adversary. To endeavor to accomplish something. To fight. Labor fervently. That's what the word strive means. That's what the word agonize means.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I like to see them weep their way through. I do. I like it. I like when the saints of God gather around them and pray for them and pray the demons of hell off of them and pray the power of God down on them. And that's what's missing in our churches today. There's not only no agony, it seems like, in the lost side, but somehow or another we have forgot the agony we went through, and we ceased to agonize with them, with God. I believe if we got a circle of folk around some people and prayed the blood of Jesus and prayed the power of God into that thing, we'd see some more people burst. But that's hard work. Amen. Nothing easy about birth.
No.
Unless we salve the conscience over and give them a shot that numbs them. They don't feel, hey, I'd rather them go through the pain and the agony and come out on the other side with a birth. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you ain't amen to me, but I'll amen myself. The preacher's helping me a little bit. He scotches me up about everywhere I go. Amen. The people, the position in. Strive to enter in the place, the straight gate. Well, I looked up the word straight. Boy, what a word it is. Straight means narrow. From obstacles standing close about. You know what the obstacles were that were standing close about when I got to Jesus and He got to me? You know what it was? All my works. Unbelief. Will He really save me? I had to push all that stuff aside. Obstacles that were in my way. Obstacles that kept me. Now listen, when you got a narrow way already and then there's obstacles in the way, you say, well, what would be a good definition? Come into my trailer and try to get changed in my bedroom. Here's a 190-pound man standing between a bed and a wall. And it's only this wide between the bed and the wall. And then there's other things in there because we don't have room for everything. I don't know how many times I've stubbed my toe over the vacuum cleaner nozzle. About broke my toenail off this morning. Hurts, man. It's hard to get dressed when it's already narrow, but there's obstacles in a narrow place.
That's right.
Then it's even worse.
Yeah.
Just come over my trailer and try it. Just do it. Or when you're trying to go into the bathroom and your daughter is saying, Dad, come on. And she's standing in the doorway waiting for me to come through it. I'm not a little fella anymore.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? The straight gate. The word straight means from obstacles standing in the way. Some of your obstacles are false professions. And you can't get away from something that happened to you that didn't happen, but it happened and it didn't do nothing, but it was there, and so therefore you got the obstacle and you can't push it out of the way. You ain't shucked it yet. You ain't shelled it out yet. You're looking at the form instead of the substance. Well, you had the form of it, but the substance of it wasn't there. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You ought to thank God you've heard the truth. Hey, but it makes me miserable. Strive! Agonizema! Agonize!
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
I didn't say it, Jesus did.
That's right. Yes,
you're making it hard. I didn't say it, Jesus did.
Right.
I told you, once you get past the obstacles, you're at the door, and the door does the saving, and there ain't no knob on the door because the door is always open. Amen. But it's getting to the door.
Right.
Lucy, I remember hearing the preacher talk about that. It was sometime in the bed you were talking. You got saved in your bedroom, didn't you? Where did you get saved at? At church. But I remember you talking about something,
Huh? Yeah, you him. And you said, laying in the bed that night or something, I just don't have any peace or something like that. The night before. There was things standing. Well, let me ask you, Sister Lucy. Once you got all the obstacles out of the way and the door was there.
No problem.
Well, amen.
Yeah.
But it was them obstacles.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything else you're holding on to that you just can't seem to let. What do people think about it? Oh, what about the pastor? What about the deacon? Or what about the people that had confidence in me and thought I had something and then I get saved and you're worried about the obstacle?
Right, right, right. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You're just in the way. They're not part of it. They're in it. But God uses them to help you to see they ain't worth anything. Amen. Well, Brother King, you had time charts and you had Bible charts and everything else. And then you got saved.
Amen.
Why?
40 years.
40 years a religious man.
That's right. Amen.
A good moral man.
Amen. Tell the world that.
Praying man, all that.
That's right. Amen.
What? Well, you had religion without Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And you had to give all that up, and you probably wondered, what in the world are people going to think?
Yeah.
And I heard that you were even wondering about whose number was on that seeking list.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Amen.
I ain't worried about it. Amen. I ain't. I'm being honest. I don't have to. Been taken care of.
Amen. Good, brother.
Amen. Amen. The command. What is the command? It's the command of Jesus. Enter ye in at the straight gate. The straight gate. The meaning there is no other. That which stands alone. That's the command. But I want you to see the reason for the command. It's called concern. It's called concern. Who was concerned? The Lord Himself. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. He says, there's a reason why you need to enter the straight gate. There's a reason why you have to enter the straight gate. And here it is, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Jesus was concerned. That's why He preached the way He did. His preaching proved He was concerned. What was the first words came out of His mouth? Repent and believe the gospel. Oh, I had a fellow. I don't know why. I don't know why God made me the way He did. Sometimes it aggravates me. And I've even asked Him. Why am I 37 years old and don't look my age and I look like a kid sometimes? Why? I'm here at this preacher. If it had been a 40-year-old man or a 37-year-old man that looked like a 45-year-old man, the man would have accepted his message. But because I look young, he wouldn't accept my message. And then he stands up and says, some of you young preachers are making it hard for people to get saved. Young preachers. I went to him after he got done. I was a little aggravated. I'll be honest with you. I was. I was upset with what he said because he had four people get saved that didn't even know if they was lost or not in the hospital room. And I was upset. He's leading folk to hell with that mess. Amen. And that upsets me. That bothers me. I'm a contender for the faith, and I can't handle that stuff. My wife said she thought any minute I was going to get up and walk out of the house so mad my ears was red. Well, you shouldn't get like that, Brother Tim. Jesus got angry.
That's right. Yeah.
It's all right to get angry about the right stuff. Moses got angry. The Bible says he left Pharaoh's presence in a rage. That means he slammed the door behind him when he left out the room. So I confronted him. I went to him afterwards and I said, Brother, you're talking about young preachers and you ain't looking at a young preacher anymore. I used to be a young preacher, but I'm not taking that sitting down anymore. And he said, what do you mean? I said, were you shooting at me or not when you were preaching tonight? I said, did you? He said, I said, did you agree with what I preached this morning? Let me ask you that. He said, well, no. I said, I knew you didn't. You shot me all the while you was in the pulpit and shot me, at, you know, like Eliab did to David. Where have you left those few sheep? You're an unimportant and an insignificant person. And I know what God's called me to do. He's called me to preach. And he's called me to preserve the right way. And so I just confronted him. I didn't have any choice, Brother King. I went to him and I said, look, first off, I'm not a young preacher. But if I were a young preacher, how old was John the Baptist when he started his ministry? Well, he said, I. Then he got smart. He folded his arms and said, oh, no. I said, you mean to tell me? And I know he was 55 because he said it three times in the message so he would let me know that he was older than me and I was young. I said, you mean to tell me you're 55 years old and you've been in the ministry longer than I have and you're older than I am and you don't even know how old John the Baptist was when he started his earthly ministry? Well, you tell me then. I said, all right, I will. Thanks for asking. He was 30. And I said, I got him beat by 7 years. And would you have said to John the Baptist, well, you're a young preacher and you're confusing the issue. I said, I thought to myself, he probably would have been one of those Pharisees. Amen. I'm just being honest. So you're being ugly. No, I wasn't being ugly. I was being honest. I was trying to get his attention. Right. He's sending folks to hell with that stinking low-down doctrine of easy believism. It's sending folks to hell. And the preaching of Jesus proved he was concerned. And that kind of preaching proves that all they care about is folks to pat them on the back. Well, that was good. And he told jokes and everything else. They had people laughing, had people crying, and he brought it all down. Oh, it makes me sick. I'm skyscraping preachers. One story on top of another. Skyscrapers. No Bible in it. Made me so, I was so aggravated. People sitting in that building that was lost and needing a message from God. And he belittled the doctrine of repentance that night. I was upset, to say the least. I was upset. My spiritual indignation got the best of me. And I'm like a bulldog. When something like that happens, I can't help it. I'm just put together that way. And I don't want to help it. I believe God wants us to hit this thing head on. He don't want us to sit back and say, well, nothing we can do about it. There's two something we can do about it. And I asked him, I said, what was the first word that came out of John the Baptist's mouth when he preached in Matthew chapter 3? Repent ye!
That's right. Amen.
And that's the first word. I said, I suppose he was too young to understand that, though. And I asked him, I said, have you ever preached a whole message on repentance in your life? Well, even if I had, he said, I wouldn't preach it like you do because I don't believe it like you do. Then he goes on to say, well, it's just a semantical thing. It's just words. I said, no, it's not words, buddy. I said, what you said was not just words, and what I said this morning was not just words. I said, we are diametrically opposed.
That's right.
Your way of salvation and my way of preaching salvation are totally the opposite. They're not the same. Jesus came by, and he took the gospel plow, and he knocked the pedestals out from underneath the religious crowd of his day, and it made them upset.
Right.
It made them mad. They got angry and they got aggravated at it.
Right.
But it didn't stop him from preaching. You know what proves a man's really concerned? When he doesn't listen to the people who say all the time, all he ever preaches on is the same thing. And he doesn't listen to what the people say and he just keeps on hammering it anyway because he's concerned about your soul. And he ain't going to leave it alone until you get it taken care of. That's the kind of preaching Jesus did. He didn't quit. He just kept on hammering that thing. He kept on preaching that thing until folk got right about it. If you get right about it, it won't bother you anymore. Amen. Let me clear something up right here while I'm there. There are two ways, not one way with another way in the middle of it. Some folks say that the narrow way is part of the broad way. It is not that the narrow way goes down the center of the broad way. It does not. The broad way is the way of destruction. The narrow way is the way of life. And there are two different ways. And one of them's not found in the other one. You're in the narrow way. You're far from the broad way. You're in a totally different way.
I often wondered why they call that Main Street, where they do all that that play acting in New York, where they call it Broadway. Wonder why you think it's a coincidence they call it Broadway? I mean, there's a whole song on it. Give my regards to Broadway. Don't give them mine. I don't want them to have mine. Amen. Amen. I mean, the world is writing songs, frivolous songs about the way they live and the way they act. That's why I can't have any part with country and western music. Since I got saved, I don't sing about Barroom Sally and a boy named Sue and all that mess. It doesn't intrigue me a bit. All it is whining music. Whine, 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 whine. They lost everything. My love left me, and my wife left me, and my kids left me. I know you've already heard it. I'm going to say it again. You know, when you play country western music backwards, you get your wife back, your dog back, your car back, and your job back, and all that. Why would anybody want to live like that? I don't know. And why would anybody who claimed to be saved enjoy that kind of mess? I don't know either. You're welcome. Listen, the narrow way got nothing to do with the Broadway. Not a thing. Enter ye in at the straight gate. His preaching proved he was concerned. His praying proved it. His purpose proved it. But I want to close with the contrast of the message. What is the contrast? Well, the word contrast has to do with opposites. See, he said many will go in the wide gate, few would go in the narrow gate. Both are opposites. Many is the opposite of few. Broad is the opposite of narrow. They're opposites. The contrast is this. One road leads to destruction. That's the way of the flesh, which is not God's way at all. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know, every once in a while, a preacher has to preach on the things that are in the world. I've been accused a few times of being a things preacher. But he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that word things, if you study it, means the affairs of the world. The way of life in the world. The manner of living. The flesh, that's what it is. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. That's the broad way. The word broad means spacious. It means, by implication, a progress in a route. That's a way of life, a route, R-O-U-T-E, like rural route. It means a mode or a means, a journey or a highway, the broad way. It is a spacious road. That's why there's a whole lot of folk on it. There's room for them. But in the narrow way, you're crowded. And folk don't like to live that way. Well, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. No, it's not that I can't, it's that I can now. So I don't have to. But the Broadway, you can do anything there. There's no laws there. And folk don't want law on them. Well, you say, Brother Tim, we're under grace. Yes, I know, and that's called the perfect law of liberty. And it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it is the law of Christ. We are under a new Lord, a new Master. But that narrowness gives us liberty. Destruction means ruin or loss. Damnation. Destruction, to die. Perdition, to perish. To be wasted. I'm about done. We have the way of the flesh. We have the way of the few.
The way of the flesh is many. The way of the few is narrow. But in the contrast, there is a forever on both ends of the spectrum. You better think about this, too. I'm not trying to get you to fear hell, but I'm trying to get you to see the reality of a place called hell. There is a place called hell. There is a place where those that go the way of destruction are going to end up forever and ever and ever. Jesus did preach that there is an eternal hell. And there is an eternal heaven. And you better wake up to the fact that you're going to live somewhere forever someday. Well, I can just forget this. I can forget. You won't forget this. I'm going to pray God don't let you. You're going to go to hell because you won't repent. You're going to go to hell because you won't just give up and chuck everything that you're holding on to, and you'll die and go to hell with it. I'm telling you, friend, it won't be worth it then. Trying to get me to fear. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to see the reality of what's in the end. Jesus preached that there was a contrast in this thing. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The broad way is not the right way. And if you think you can take your chances, you don't know God. Because God's not a gambler. I don't know why the Lord wanted me to preach this message this morning. I really wanted to preach this morning out of the Psalms. I wanted to preach something that would really have everybody running around and everything. But I'll tell you what, this makes me run around in my mind and in my heart because of the day God got me there. I'm not bound. I'm not bound. I'm free. The world's bound. They're bound in a broad way and don't even know it. I'm free. I'm on my way to glory. We sang about it this morning. I don't think I'm going, and I don't hope I'm going. I know I'm going. God blew peace in my soul. Sinless I'm not, but sinless I want to be. Perfect I'm not, perfect I desire to be. Someday I will be. Stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, Lord, there was a heavy weight on my heart this morning about this message that's now gone. And I thank you that it's gone. As far as to preach the message, it's gone. But Lord, something's not gone. And that's the truth about the agony. Nobody wants to shout and rejoice any more than I do, Lord. You know that. But I know what agony brought Friday night a week ago when we hovered around some souls and we wept our way to you and we prayed everything out of the way so that we could get to you for their behalf. And God, there's people here today we need to agonize over. People that are lost need to be saved. God, our hearts need to be broken for them. God, those that are lost, they need to get in that condition. God, don't let them take lightly the position that they're found in. Without Christ, it's not a position that ought to be taken lightheartedly. God, I pray you'd do a work that I cannot do. I know that I'm without power right now in that area. But Lord, I'm talking to you about it because you're the one that's able. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it'd be wonderful if about 20 folk got saved this morning. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it. And Lord, you said you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh God, help our unbelief.